Occasionally, his superior vision would detect an enemy that needed smiting, and when this occurred, my son would simply stop, smite, and continue. He was worried that the Puffin's invisible hordes might attack me. I was worried that my son hadn't done a wee before we left the house, and might therefore do it in his bat pants. I was also worried about being a widow for the rest of my life. At first I'd thought that it was quite brave of me to insist on walking to the church, but now I felt dizzy and foolish. I thought I might faint. Little B held onto my elbow and whispered to me to take deep breaths. I remember thinking, how strange that it should be you who is keeping me on my feet. In the church I sat in the front pew, with Little B on my left and Batman on my right. The church was stuffed with mourners, of course. No one from work. I tried to keep my life and my magazine separate, but otherwise everybody Andrew and I knew was there. It was disorienting, like having the entire contents of one's address book dressed in black and exported into pews in non-alphabetical order. They had classified themselves according to some unwritten protocol of grief, blood relatives ghoulishly close to the coffin, old girlfriends in a reluctant cluster near the baptismal font. I couldn't bear to look behind me and see this new natural order of things. It was all very much too sudden. A week ago I had been a successful working mother. Now I was sitting at my husband's funeral, flanked by a superhero and a Nigerian refugee. It seemed like a dream that might be awoken from with relatively little effort. I stared at my husband's coffin, strewn with white lilies. Batman stared at the vicar. He cast an approving eye over the vicar's stole and surplice. He gave the vicar a solemn thumbs up, one caped crusader to another. The vicar returned the salute, then his thumb returned to the faded gilt edging of his Bible. The church was falling quiet, expectant. My son looked all around, then back at me.
"Where's Daddy?" he said.
I squeezed my son's hot, sweaty hand and listened to the coughs and sniffles echoing round the church. I wondered how I could possibly explain my husband's death to his son. It was depression that killed Andrew, of course. Depression and guilt. But my son didn't believe in death, let alone in the capacity of mere emotions to cause it. Mr. Freeze's ice rays, perhaps. The Puffin's lethal wingspan at a stretch. But an ordinary phone call from a skinny African girl? It was impossible to explain.